heard when I studied.
What?
What is God like? Interesting topic.
Amen.
I always thought of myself. You ever stop sometimes to just look into the entire, just look up into the sky and just think about how did God ever came about? I ask myself those questions sometimes. And sometimes I ask myself, why God ever created me? You know? And I'm just going to look into this and see what is God like. As a matter of fact, I don't think we can ever study this topic in depth. Because we're just about to, like Brother Creed said the other day, we're just scratching the surface.
Amen.
All right. Let me start off by reading Psalms 139, verse 1 to 4. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. Amen. And God is all knowing, he's also omniscient. Okay, he knows everything about us.
Amen.
Okay, and what I find interesting, we're going to look into that later on. This book, before you were even born, he knows you.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because he created you. And someone, one pastor said one time to me, when Christ was hanging on the cross, he had you on his mind.
Amen.
Okay, who can read 1 John chapter 3, verse 20?
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
This God that we worship, he knows all things.
Amen.
Right.
Okay. We can get to Job chapter 42, verse 2.
We're going to read it.
Okay, go ahead. You get it.
Right there. Job 42, verse 2.
One thing God do.
It says there, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee.
Amen. Hey, when I was looking at this last night, before, you know, just to get prepared for this message, well, the Sunday school actually, when he says, what can God do? He can do everything. I think God, sometimes I do believe that the Lord allows certain things to get, as far as we're concerned, get worse. And you're like, you're sitting there like, God, when are you going to answer this prayer? And I think the Lord allows certain situations to get worse, that when you finally answer that prayer, you just realize, you know what? God can do all things. God can do anything. And that there is no doubt it is God to answer a prayer. Take, for example, why is it that you waited so long for Abraham's wife, Sarah, to have a child? She was barren. She was old. Okay? And remember that if you read Genesis, he said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Amen.
Okay? And once again, he said, I'm the God of all flesh. In Jeremiah, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything hard for me?
Amen.
There's nothing hard for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so in our prayer life, and in my to my trial sometimes, you know, things seem to get worse. I'm like, I'm getting impatient. That way, God is letting us know there's nothing that he cannot do.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Okay, Matthew 19, verse 26.
But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, that's one of my favorite Bible verse.
Amen.
I remember there's a situation at work one time. They always have this young, as a manager. Well, people just getting tired. People were quitting left and right. And people said, oh, no one can get rid of her. And you know what? People are getting unhappy. And right now, our workplace has been peaceful the longest time.
Right.
Why? Because the right people are there. But I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you got to get rid of this person. Yep, and God did. And the reason that I went to my prayer closet about that is because people were saying, oh, she's powerful. You know what? I said, well, excuse me? I said, there's a guy I worship.
Right.
I went to the Lord about it. Okay, good. God is everywhere. It means he's omnipresent. Okay, once again, I'm going to read it for you because I'm thinking right there. Psalms 139, verses 7 to 17. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, it, even there shall thy hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
That's up to 17. Yeah, that was. Yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
That's right.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and am curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, O great is the sum of that of them.
Amen.
It's a beautiful psalm.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful psalm. When you read it, sometimes, you know, have you ever read God's word and tears come to your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's written out of pure love.
Amen.
This is one of them. Also, John chapter 17, when God was praying for us.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I mean, it just melted my heart, you know, and getting that kind of choked up right now thinking about it.
Amen.
I mean, right now I'm praying for some people to join us this morning. I wish they'd come. You know, I'm still praying for them, you know, because they need to get close to the Lord.
That's right.
Right, that's right.
God hears that prayer too. Amen.
Amen.
What's that, brother?
God hears that prayer.
Amen. Thank you. What is the conclusion? Constant question. Where is God? He is everywhere. I can't get away or hide from him. Nope, we can't. Look at Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 3.
Exodus 13?
Yeah.
3, 13 and 14.
Chapter 3, right?
Yeah, 13 to 14.
Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you.
Amen. Good morning, gentlemen. I am that I am. Notice he does not say I was or I will be. Okay, now that's pretty interesting. This note right here, he answered and said, I am that I am. But look what I think we're pre-wrote this in here. He does not say I was or I will be. I am that I am.
That's right.
He mentioned himself in the present tense.
Right.
He is always around. He's always existed.
Like in John 8.
Exactly. He always existed.
Amen.
Like the greatness of our God.
Right.
We didn't go out there in the woods and chop down a tree and they sit down in front of it and worship like Jeremiah said.
Right.
You know, we don't go out and look for a statue and worship it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And the next thing, and please do not go online and see this and make fun of these people. We
right.
We pray for these people.
Right.
There was a flood in India. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Christians put things online and mocking them because they were carrying their idol. Yeah, yes, that's stupid, but I think we should, you know, that's an opportunity to see one of these people and say, you know what? Let me tell you about my God. Amen. That I don't have to carry around.
That's true.
Okay? It is sad.
It is.
They're worshiping something that doesn't exist, that they're making, that they're finding your mind and worship it. Mm-hmm. According to Deuteronomy 33:27. Is that what that Deuteronomy? 33:27. God is eternal God. Thirdly, let's look at it for ourselves. Am I going talking too fast? I'm kind of excited. Tell me to slow down if I'm not moving too hyper.
Yep.
27. That brother Pete says, it's best to show people the scripture that look at it for themselves.
Got it.
Tell them if you find it.
Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this.
Wow. Amen.
You know, I'm in the wrong place. Hold on. Okay, now I'm in the right place.
That is a good verb.
Yeah. It was the spirit.
It was.
Yeah. I'm about to read that today. I just read
one.
Are you
there? Okay, read it.
The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them.
Wow. Amen. Now, this is what I love about our God, okay? God is unchanging.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, we can get to Malachi.
For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed.
That is great passage right there. I mean, what jumps on you right away? God doesn't change. I'm glad. And he said, and the sons of Jacob will be consumed. Hey, think about yourself that God is willing and waiting for you to ask forgiveness when you stumble into sin, right? And he promised that he will forgive you. Now, what if God was thinking like us? Many times you see people, man, I wish I was God, I'll burn them up. Yes, Darren.
I like the fact that our Lord doesn't change. When Muhammad was writing the Quran, he couldn't read it right, but he had someone else do it. There was so much inconsistencies that his followers were asking him, how come we're only allowed to have four wives and you got more than four wives? And they had to add something in there again. He kept adding. Wow. Right? So when they say our God is inconsistent, nah, buddy. Our God doesn't change, therefore his word is consistent.
You hear that a lot too, because they say that there's so much inconsistent with a God.
Right.
And yet we have given the Bible to show you they can.
Okay? Right.
Because we're going to understand God's word.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the thing that the wild part of that verse is, not only that he doesn't change, but he said, therefore
before your sons of Jacob not consumed?
Do you know who the sons of Jacob are?
The Israelites.
The Israelites.
Yep.
And so, and even in that changing, talking about that changing, he's alluding, he's implying his mercy and grace.
Amen. Yeah, exactly. Amen.
Like this, which we're just talking about.
Yeah.
Burn him up.
I mean, he's yeah, I'm glad some of you guys aren't God. Be in trouble.
I'll be on Capitol Hill. Okay, Numbers 23:19.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither of the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, or hath he said, and shall he do not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1 verse 17.
Else
somebody get some verse, man.
I found it. I'm just kidding. Someone else. James chapter what?
James chapter 1.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen.
Amen.
God is holy, and that's what a lot of us as Christians forget. Okay? Since I mean the Psalms, I'm gonna get there first. Psalms chapter 99, verses 9. I'll read that one. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship Him at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy.
Amen.
Okay, then go back into, well, I think it's Peter, be ye holy, for I'm holy, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, and so that people don't understand. Actually, when Brother Peter and I were discussing, people complain about, oh, that's the New Testament.
Yeah,
that was fine. And last time I checked, the Old Testament is also the Bible. The entire Bible is the
right,
Bible.
Right.
Okay, if you read, sometimes you see something in the Old Testament, run into it again in the New Testament.
And it goes
right here, as God said, okay, God is holy. Our God is a holy God. And I'll explain, though, you know, when I get a chance to witness people in the workplace and they ask me a question, I said, think of the most dirtiest and nastiest thing that you can think of in your mind. Okay? Good. As far as God is concerned about your sins, that's how He thinks about your sin. Okay, and that's why they had the tabernacle, the holies of holies. Anybody who goes inside there with sin on them, bang, you're dead.
Right.
Okay, God is a holy God. There was no one sin in His sight. That's why a lot of times when, if you're not right with God, if you're into sin, you go before the Lord. I mean, the other day I was just like, okay, what's on my mind? You know, there's someone I had a problem with a while back, right? And I have to go to the Lord and I say, Lord, forgive me of that.
Right.
And because when I go to into my prayer closet, Brother Creed, I feel like I have no connection. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why? Because God, when you have sin on you, God doesn't want to hear anything from you. Mm-hmm. God is holy.
Amen.
Okay? God, let's think about the idea of holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read on. The Romans chapter 5, verses 8.
When God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good stuff. Right?
That's good right there. That's a really blessed passage.
Amen.
And once again, get into arguments with people at work. I said, did Allah ever die for you?
Mm.
Anybody else ever died for you? And the reason for His death is to pay for our sins, His precious blood. Amen. Christ died for us. God is gracious. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that. Acronym. We are saved by grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8. We got that.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
And that our set
is God works with the
Amen.
Amen. Titus 2, 11 to 12.
This is good right here. This is good.
Okay, I'm going to give Elijah a chance to read that one. Let me get it, brother.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen. The Calvinists hate that verse.
Huh?
The Calvinists hate that verse.
Well, verse 11 is important because the order, you get saved, then you live right.
Amen.
Amen.
You live right and get saved.
Right. Yeah, and I like the fact that Brother Creed emphasized that. People said, oh, turn from your sin and get saved. No, you can't turn from your sin.
Right. You got to get saved first.
Okay, you got to get saved first. And God help you with that. Okay? Is the young man okay over there in the head at the desk? You all right? Okay, good. I get concerned when people put their heads on the desk like that.
I've been praying all night for
us. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. You got it?
Okay. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
I love that passage. And do you know how many times people try to get rid of this Bible?
A lot.
Okay. And now that they try to get rid of it, then they're trying to revise it, all this other Bible. The word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
Okay, no matter what people do. Matter of fact, I think there's somebody who said his job was to make sure there's no God or to get rid of anything that pertains to God. I think it was Voltaire, if I'm not mistaken. And now his house, they use his house to print the Bible.
Wow. His death, when he was dying, he was scary. It was a horrifying death.
I saw yesterday online where the Methodists were having some kind of convention. And this man, I don't know whether it's Nigeria or Africa, or he was holding up the Bible, and he quoted all scriptures given by inspiration of God. They did not like that at all. Yeah.
And there's a Methodist in there.
The Methodists used to be, Brother Arnold will tell you, back in West Virginia, where he lived. My dad lived in the coal, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the coal camps back in West Virginia.
Yeah, right.
The coal mines and all that stuff.
Coal country, yep.
Yeah, I mean, they had, you know, you heard that song, "I Owe My Soul to the Company Store"? Amen. That was because you got everything on credit, and you got to be paid at the end of the month. Well, they would rotate, they'd have a church there in their little village, and they would rotate preachers. One week, the Creek Baptist, one that week, the Methodist, one week, the Presbyterian. And back in the 50s and 60s, you couldn't tell the difference.
That's what I heard also, like, wouldn't that tell the difference?
You couldn't tell the difference.
Well, we went from Baptist to the Methodist to the Church of God, and there, as we moved to different locations, we went to the church that
was
taught the word, you know? Mm-hmm. And everybody, was not the same, but every faith had preachers and churches that represented the Word of God.
Yeah, they preached the Word of God, and now they've changed.
Yeah, now they get a pride flag on your church.
What's that?
Now they have a pride flag on your church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good study. Thank you for teaching, brother.
Thanks for asking me to teach, sir. So did I go too fast? I don't know if I went.
No, you didn't get a ticket this time. You were close. we didn't pick you up on radar. We didn't ask for the beginning. People were praying for.
Yeah, I'm praying for Mr. Preston, Mr. Bryant.
Pray for Jim Stroud's father. Jim Stroud's father's down in the hospital in Southern Maryland. He's got sepsis. He's not doing good at all. And John Ridiger, who is an assistant pastor at my brother's church, and he heads up the college. His dad passed away this past week, and he's out there